Welkom bij een nieuwe aflevering van De Roze Hoed vanuit het Vakwerkhuis in Delft. Een podcast waarin we je alvast onderdompelen in de wereld van het Delft Fringe Festival en de wereld van nieuwe makers. Mocht je het nog niet weten, 2 tot en met 12 juni 2022 vindt het Delft Fringe Festival plaats in de prachtige Prinsenstad Delft. Mijn naam is Raymond Beeftink en ik ben de artistiek leider bij het festival. Ik houd me bezig met alle zaken die nieuwmakers aangaan en sta te trappelen om dit jaar weer een mooie nieuwe editie te presenteren. Het Delft Fringe Festival is een podiumkunstenfestival voor nieuwe makers. Makers die in de regel nog niet zo lang geleden afgestudeerd zijn aan een kunstopleiding. Tijdens het festival draait het niet alleen om de voorstellingen aan zich. En sommige voorstellingen vereisen dan ook nog wat extra uitleg. In normale mensentaal zonder artistieke invulling. Als bezoeker kun je tijdens een Q&A de maker het hemd van het lijf vragen naar aanleiding van wat je gezien hebt. En misschien wil je nog wel meer van ze weten. Ook wordt de maker bevraagd door onze talkshow host. In deze aflevering staat muziek vooral centraal en geven we alvast een voorproefje. En bevragen we op dit moment alvast eventjes 3 verschillende makers die tijdens het Delft Fringe Festival 2022 zullen spelen. We hebben Pedro Latas, Can We Feel Touch? When We're Made of Light, is een muziekvoorstelling, zoals ik al gezegd heb. En daarin staat centraal wat gebeurt er met onze lichamen tijdens een reis op lichtsnelheid door kabels. Dat belooft wat. Dan hebben we Zeestraat Collective met de voorstelling Kaas en Noten. Inesh Hiwerelops, muziek en zijn voorstelling waarin op hoog niveau muziek wordt gemaakt met speelgoedinstrumenten. En we Loxia Strijkkwartet, De Oorsprong van een Revolutie, is de voorstelling genaamd. Van Martin Alvarez is ook muziek. En het zijn 2 aanleidingen voor een revolutie in de muziekwereld. Voordat we helemaal diep in de voorstellingen gaan duiken, wil ik alle 3 de gasten vragen om zichzelf even te omschrijven in een emoji. En wat meer over zichzelf te vertellen. Dat gaan we gelijk overschakelen naar het Engels. Want dat is de makkelijkste voertaal van de 3 gasten aan tafel. So, Pedro, we're gonna start off with you. Describe your participation at the Delft Fringe Festival in 1 emoji.
I want to go with a sparkling emoji.
Sparkling?
Yeah, I don't like 3 little sparkles because I always finish my sentences with that. And like... Oh, hey, let's go to a party. Sparkle emoji. Oh,
okay.
I'm going to go do this or do that. It's always that one. And I feel like that's what describes me the most in my existence in general.
So
that's pretty much it.
Tell us more. Who are you and where are you from?
I am from Portugal. I've been in the Netherlands for almost 3 years now for studying purposes. I sort of think of myself as a multimedia artist. I started a very classical background in terms of composition, but I sort of branched out into other kinds of art making and performance art, let's say. And lately I've been super interested in delving into aspects of digital technology and the human body and the humans in general and how they affect each other. And especially in terms of human connections and relationships of kinship between humankind, which is especially, relevant because of all this Corona situation and now unfortunately with the war that's happening in Ukraine. I've been just super interested in those things. And of course it has a lot to do with computers and our, constant necessity of having our phone or social media or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well, your performance is drenched in that. So we're going to talk more about it in a minute. We also have got Zeestraat Collective, Kaas en Noten. Inish, your emoji.
Let's go for a little keyboard emoji.
Fine.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's all about toy instruments, and the center of the performance is a toy piano. So, a little toy keyboard emoji is the perfect one to describe it.
Awesome. So, where do you come from? Who are you?
So, I'm a pianist. I also come from Portugal, like Pedro. Well, I have a very classical background also. I have a bachelor and a master. I'm taking another master in The Hague. So very academic path throughout all these past years. But for 4 years, a little bit more, I've been maybe drifting a little bit from the classical stuff and delving much towards contemporary music, and now leaving the piano-focused practice and starting to playing also toy instruments and other type of alternative things, I guess.
Oh, cool, cool. Martin, how are you?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I think I will go for this emoji like with the head and the exploding head.
Ah!
So I think it matches a bit the idea of our project, of our show, because it's the beginning of a revolution. And of course, not all revolutions are violent, but I think it's very visual in the sense of what happens when you want to break with the past behind you. And yeah, so what we want to offer for our audience is not only the performance of two relatively classical pieces or pieces that are included in the standard repertoire of the string quartet, but also, like the relationship with the, not only with the context, but also with what happened next with this kind of breakthrough. So that's why.
Yes. A lot more about that in a minute, because yes. I'm curious to hear more about that. We're going to switch back to the person we started with, Pedro. So I read in the application, and it says that the camera picks up on your face, the computer turns it into bytes, and then they become light in a fiber optic cable. And the cable reaches somewhere, and then light turns to bytes, and bytes becomes a face on a computer screen. And then what happens to our physical bodies on this journey at the speed of light? How does all this translate into a performance?
Yeah, so the core idea of the performance is that basically these two people, random people, not specific ones, actually, just like two human beings trying to connect with each other. They're sort of like, I don't know, they upload themselves into some kind of futuristic, super complex kind of program with the only intention of being in contact with each other in as real as a way as possible.
But what is the definition of a real connection?
Feeling touch, feeling the warmth of the skin, feeling the hair, the nails, the grease on your face if you haven't done your skincare treatment for the past 2 weeks. You know, this kind of like realness and also the emotion that is embedded in all kinds of human interactions, and the emotion of a face, of a smile, of the gesture of the hand, you know, giving emphasis just to a word that you say in a sentence. That's sort of what I'm not trying to go for, but what trying to explore in this sort of very, I don't know, futuristic sense, this place that I sort of try to create.
All right. So, In your opinion, the future would be not about traditional communication in the sense that we use words, but there would be other forms of communication that we not have delved into just yet?
Not per se without words, but for sure, I think there's going to be a lot more sort of distance contact with each other, because now we have the technological capabilities of me being in Netherlands and my parents being in Portugal, or there's someone from, I don't know, Shanghai, which is able to communicate with me and to interact with me as a person and as an artist. So I guess my question is more, how do we go from here and what's going to happen to the traditional mediums of communication? And then with these new mediums of communication, how and can we fully connect with each other as people in this globe?
Yeah. So it describes almost like a new way of connecting, or an extra layer of connect. To be able to connect to other people. But some might say, even if you have a performance that is so heavily dependent on technology, that could be a restriction as well.
Mm. In which way restriction, actually?
Restriction in the fact that you would have just another layer of communication, in the sense that it would be even more complex. We already struggle sometimes with words and with gestures. Then it would also be the extra layer of technology. And the fact that technology has its limitations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're still not willing to give that up, even though we have limitations. Every Zoom call fails. People don't have internet for days on end for sometimes, but we're still engaging in these mediums. So it means that it's you know, the positive aspects of these mediums outweigh the negative aspects of maybe having a frozen face for 5 seconds when having a Zoom meeting or something like that. So I think it's nice and interesting to explore that other, as you say, added layer of complexity, and from there really see what kind of how relationships develop. And, you know, in even, or even maybe for me more interesting, how we sort of go around those relationships and then find new ways of communicating even, you know, that's sort of like what I'm thinking.
How do you then connect with the audience in finding relationships and finding connections?
With this particular performance, I see the audience more as like voyeurs in a way. They're watching these two people try as much as possible to, you know, to connect with each other, even though they have this like very complex kind of technological barrier. And I hope, or I do believe, that the audience will be able to relate in this aspect, because we're also intertwined with, you know, FaceTiming and face calls and these, or just plain calling on the cell phone, like your grandma or something. I think each person can relate to it in a very personal way, because it's just the setting that we are living now as a global society, you know?
All right. What do you hope will happen at the Del Fringe Festival then? When, like, when you can finally perform in front of people again and will not have that limitation of just the screen, but then have actual people in front of you again, like the mixture of the technical and the real world.
Mm.
What do you hope will happen?
I hope that, first of all, my setup will not fail, because that can always happen. It has happened. It's very fun. Second of all, I just hope that people maybe leave the performance hall with a little bit more sort of like an awareness of their own, like, instead of like being an ecological footprint, it's like a digital footprint. You know, how do I, as an audience member that saw this performance, how can I take, you know, ideas of how do I relate to technology? How do I relate to one another? Am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? It's sort of like the questions that I want the audience to sort of have in their mind before, during, and after, maybe when they go home. Spark these sort of questionings.
Very on topic these days with people discussing like the digital identities and like how far should we go. Super interesting. I want to continue to Zeestad Collective. And I wanted to, like, I had a question about how do you think about technology, but there's one elephant in the room I just want to address first. Like, your performance is called Kaas en Noten, which almost sounds like a typical Dutch birthday situation where, like, people gather around in the living room eating kaas en noten and sometimes worst as well. Is there any reference to this in the performance?
Not at all. It's actually very stupid the way the name came about. So I have to talk a little bit about the performance, actually, so that I can explain the name. The concept is, first of all, the Zeestraat Collective is a collective of, it's me and two more performer and composers. We intend to do more performances, different performances, and this is our first project, and is a performance centered on toy instruments. And the basis for this concert is John Cage Toy Piano Suite. And to this already existing piece, we are going to add more pieces, but they don't resort only to the toy piano, we add more toy instruments. And now comes the very stupid part of it. That is, we were talking about how we were going to intertwine our music with Cage's music. And Cage is very similar to the word queijo in Portuguese, which means cheese. So, Kaas. And then we were writing like Cage, nós, which means us in Portuguese, but nós in Portuguese is also nuts. So suddenly it became cage and cheese, cage in nós, so then Kaas en Noten. So
totally different from what I expected it to be, but it's good that we have this explanation now. Your performance is less dependent on technology, you could say. It's more about toy instruments. Mm-hmm. Why toy instruments if you have like a background in like a whole tradition of instruments that have that go way, way, way back, and then you decide to go for toy instruments?
Well, first of all, why not? No. I mean, of course, well, I love piano and I'm a pianist, but I started to explore this small instrument, this toy piano instrument first, just playing piano and toy piano at the same time in already existing pieces, and then adding electronics because I also play a repertoire for piano and electronics. And then at some point I just wanted to work with this instrument because it's a new realm of sound, of acoustic sound. And then I started adding other instruments to the mix because then you start exploring the acoustic properties of these sounds, and it sounds so interesting and so dreamlike in a way. But you can also, and it's fun. What is funny for us is that these are toy instruments, but we are going to create what we can call like serious music with them. So our idea is to explore these instruments as they were not that much explored. So it's just like a field that we want to kind of delve into, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Is it you like collaborating with different people? What is the benefit of collaborating with people? Why not just dive into this magical world yourself?
I'm collaborating with two composers. They are also performers, but they are mainly composers now. And as a performer, it's always good. Well, I also compose, but it's always good to have composers by our side so they can write for us and make our work easier. I already have to practice piano for so many hours that to have someone working with me is always better. But of course, the exchange of ideas and the backgrounds, it's always very enriching, and you always keep developing yourself through these collaborations. So yeah, it's always good to work with people and not be sitting in your room alone all day studying piano, you know.
Yeah, and to be in front of people, with people again, exactly. That must be magical again. So how would you describe your participation at Delft Fringe Festival? Like, when would it be successful?
I don't understand.
Is there even a way of being successful during like this time? You have like many days that you can perform in front of an audience. When do you feel like when do you go home happy?
Well, first, if I have people actually going to my performance, I guess, if I have people there. But even if I only have one person that liked it, I'll be very, very pleased. Even if it's just one people, because usually I do things that are a little bit different than what people are used to. So it's nice when sometimes people go into it not knowing what it is, and then they actually like it or they give a good feedback. Then, that's what I can really take from the experience, I guess. And of course, playing is always nice.
And it's very humble of you to say so. Martin, are you also with Luxios Strijk Quartet that humble? Are you happy if only one person just will attend the concert?
Yeah, I mean, not everything is measured by number, I guess. But for us, it's very important the communication process. So we consider music as a communication act. So that's why not only the performance is based on playing, but also on this not storytelling that sounds a bit like, yeah, we are speaking for children or something.
Yeah, but tell me, what are you going to do?
So we will have, let's say, like a short introduction of what we're going to do before we play, and then in between the two pieces, because it's relatively short, like around the 20-25 minutes program. And then at the end, we want to have this kind of like not feedback session, but a bit of interaction with the audience if possible. We still have to figure out how, in terms of like technology, to make sure that can be done in the spaces that we are going to perform. But yeah, I think it's more about the engaging of the audience than just the fact that they are going to sit down and listen to music, but not only sit down, but also think and actively taking part in the process.
Okay. And you're a strijk quartet. So that means you're going to play, I think, a little bit of classical yes. music.
Exactly.
There's a tradition in that.
Yeah, it's probably the most traditional project of the three now. And the less dependent on technology as well, which is, yeah, it's for me the nice, because then, yeah, I'm not so good with that. So it's based on tradition. Like, we are playing Beethoven and Anton Webern, which are two composers that are part of like the standard repertoire for this group, for the string quartet. But we wanted to go like a little step further and including this kind of element also in the performance.
All right. In the text, when I read about your performance, you talk about connecting two worlds that were there 100 years ago and are worlds that are still relevant in today's compositions.
Yes. So it is peculiar or curious that these two pieces that we are going to perform were part of like the first phases, if we can talk about that, about these two composers, Beethoven and Webern, which are 100 years apart in the same area, which is Vienna, like Austria, at the beginning of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century. So, yeah, I think it's curious how the world and the composition world changed so much in those 100 years, and then how these two composers also developed. No, like we are going to present like early works, but all even in these early stages, you can see the potential or what's coming next. So I think that's interesting also to show like this kind of fun fact. No, like, yeah.
And it's kind of weird to hear like there's 100 years apart, and you're going to tell like the difference between like composition that were like, it's crazy from a modern day perspective where genres and music changes like almost every 2-3 months. There's a new genre coming up, or it's like a new crossover, and so many things are happening. Possibilities are endless, and you're taking it way back in time when it took 100 years to create a significant change in tradition. How is that even relevant today?
Like, I think, yeah, from a historical perspective, let's say you can understand many things about the present if you study the past. That doesn't mean that you have to repeat it or that you only should focus about it. But I think it's, yeah, like even in the actual composing styles, of course, there are many, many like ways of composing and styles. And yeah, as you said, the genres that are developing constantly. But let's say the base, and also let's say the education base when it comes to music, is, yeah, it is inspired by this kind of, these two main composition styles, and also like when it comes to other artistic disciplines. So I think it's interesting to, let's say, okay, we are here now, but we can still see some
influences from
exactly,
like, the grandmasters from back then. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Pedro, what do you know about Delft?
Porcelain, the Bent Tower, which I absolutely love. I know there's an IKEA, and my parents really want me to go there to buy some new pillows because mine are very, very old. They were here just last week, and like every day we're saying, so are you going to Delft to go to IKEA? Did I get to? No, we're going to go to Rotterdam today. Okay. I'm going to show you the cities. No, but, what I know, like historically, not so much. I've been here a couple of times, just like walking around. I really enjoy it. Like really like a small, typical Dutch town, which I was like walking here actually to this place, and I was thinking, yeah, I could live here. This is a possibility.
Okay.
Like a perfect space between big cities, but like small and nice and cozy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ines, Martin, anything to add to that? What do you know about Delft that's so typical?
Well, pretty much the same as Pedro, but I also feel the same. I was walking here today and thinking, I would like to live here, actually. This is very nice.
Let's find a house together.
Collabing already and like purchasing or renting houses.
Exactly.
Anything you want to add?
Yes, and what I like about Delft is that it maybe doesn't have the big venues or the big orchestras as Amsterdam or Rotterdam, but it has a lot of artistic life. and also maybe thanks to the university, or but also I think like private initiative, like there are a lot of salon concerts and people that really want to pay musicians or to attend classical music. And I think this festival is also one good example of how even a relatively small city can make a lot to contribute to music in general.
Absolutely. So what do you look most forward to, like being at the Delft Fringe Festival? What are you most excited about?
I think the fact that there are different performances throughout like 3-4 days makes it interesting, because it's not one concert and that's it. So you really have to play all your cards there. But then you can it's a learning process in itself. And then you can have the feedback from the audience and interact with them. And also, because there are, I think, 10 different or 8 different concerts, then you can reach way more people than if it would be only one. So I think that's very interesting.
Awesome. Pedro, is like, what is the biggest challenge of being a maker of arts and then being here in the Netherlands, and then you have what you have? Mm.
The biggest challenge.
I don't know.
Yeah. Are there any challenges?
For sure there are, yeah. For sure there are. But I think what I'm most, not afraid, but frightened about is the fact that, especially the Netherlands, you know, it's such a wonderful place, you know, for artists to be in. And as in the 2 years that I've been here, I've seen so many things, so many different things, that I always think to myself, like, okay, crap, do I actually have a place in here? Do I have like a relevant voice to be heard? You know, not in a way of like overshadowing someone else, but in a way of like, what can I add? So that's, well, it's negative and positive, because it's negative because you like put this pressure on you, or not on myself, I put it on myself. It's also positive because it makes me strive for something more. So it's like this sort of like ambiguity and duality in this challenge that you have in such a prolific artistic place like the Netherlands. But I've been finding my place. I've been meeting and going to a lot of nice venues and concerts and meeting wonderful, wonderful people. And I just hope that I'm not good, but like relevant enough to also include myself in it, because I think that I'm now in a setting which I really identify myself with. And I think that's really, really important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Inish, how do you think about that? Like, what is the biggest challenge, because you play multiple groups?
Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of the same as Pedro in a way, because I think that's something common to most artists, especially the ones that are kind of freelancers and are not playing in orchestras or already existing groups, is that you're always thinking, do I have a place here? Can I be here? Can I do my thing here? Do I have to comply to what audiences or artistic directors want from me? Or can I just find my artistic identity throughout all these challenges? Because it's difficult, of course. We have to produce our projects. We need funds. It's hard to get funds. Then you need place to rehearse. You need to meet people. And there's always so many steps to achieve in a way that it's really hard to be an artist, of course. And you are always thinking in the back of your head, but am I good enough to be included in this already so big mixture of artists? Do I belong here? So yeah, I guess that's something. There's so many good people doing awesome things that one can only think, oh, am I that good also? Do I belong to this world? Can I belong here?
But is that any different from any other country then? Or is that a general universal thing?
Well, I can only speak for Portugal and the Netherlands, I guess. I actually think that in Portugal is even worse, because there's not that many opportunities. So it's even worse, because it makes it more competitive and a little bit in a toxic way sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the good thing here actually is that you can find your way in the end,
okay,
I guess. But yeah, I guess that's the biggest problem, is that if people want to hear you, but not more than that, can you even find a way of reaching people?
Martin, do you agree with that or do you have a different experience?
Yeah, no, I was going to say that I think a bit of a combination of the two things. And also the fact that, well, we are still students or like, even if we are finishing our studies, then we have experience, of course, on stage. But when it comes to creating new projects, there are a lot of aspects that you also need to work on, like, yeah, finding venues, finding funding, like develop your program notes, finding people to collaborate with. And that's hard, not only in terms of economic terms, but also like getting to know the people. We come from other countries, so that also, yeah, we have to find our network. And it's funny because it's relatively easy to feel welcome here and to start to have your own network and to find the connections. But yeah, at the same time, it's a challenge. So I think it takes time and it takes experience. So yeah, but I'm glad that in the Netherlands you can actually develop these projects. And usually when you present them, then in a way, people can relate to your project or can feel attracted by your ideas and then want to collaborate or want to offer some help or want to include you in programs. So
that's lovely to hear.
That's I think that's the path to go.
Hopefully we'll have that same experience here in Delft in June. I want to thank you for participating this edition. We're gonna run up. We're out of time. Hartelijk dank voor het luisteren. Je luisterde naar de Roze Hoed van het Delft Fringe Festival. Mocht je nou meer willen weten over het festival, ga dan gewoon lekker naar www.delftfringefestival.nl. Koop je kaartjes, zeker voor deze makers. Dus tot dan en tot de volgende keer.